This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture with me, T. Shao-ik, and Lim Su-en in the studio, bringing you an analysis of the developments following Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's resignation as Prime Minister, as tendered to the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong just earlier this afternoon. So we have guests on the line helping us to break down and understand these developments. And now we have James Chai, political commentator and head of commercial and research from Invoke Solutions, joining us on Zoom. Hi, James. How are you today?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
So, James, what are your initial thoughts on the Prime Minister's resignation?
I think, like everyone, we are relieved that somehow it is still possible for a Prime Minister to resign when most people are in consensus that he should. But I think what is also quite worrying is that whatever relief that we have is short-lived, because what happens afterwards probably is more of a concern. What we do know, and what everyone agrees upon, is that however the pandemic was mishandled, was attributed to Tan Sri Muhyiddin's government and a personal responsibility on him as well. But I think where people disagree would be the origin or the root cause of this problem. I think where it really lies for this government is that the weak nature of it, of not acquiring majority, has pressed this government to very desperate lengths. And therefore, the fear is that whoever that we appoint next may go through the same cycle without a larger coalition or some sort of opposition support. So I hope that whoever we appoint at least would be able to circumvent that problem, because that would have drastic consequences to how they handle the country.
So, James, we know that Ismail Sabri has been getting a lot of media attention over the past 24 hours or so. The assumption is that he is trying to keep some form of Perikatan Nasional alive. What's your take on this? And at this juncture, how likely is it for us to see Perikatan Nasional remain as the government just with a new prime minister after this?
I think what we know for the past few hours is that Perikatan Nasional as a bloc remains very stable and united, which means that they all still want the entity to stay. However, if you read from the tone of voice of a lot of the cabinet ministers, there's also a certain sense that things are outside of their control. So if we do have a situation where Perikatan Nasional is in and Ismail Sabri is the prime minister, that would be the most conservative outcome possible, because it just means a change of the person at the helm. However, this time, it may be slightly different as well, because you may have some people who are with Zahid, who were anti-Muhyiddin in the past, starting to support Ismail Sabri again, because what they really care for more is the fact that UMNO becomes prime minister more than anything else. So, but however, I think that this is also threatened to a certain extent by the Agong statement just now, which actually hints at how he does not want the same configuration of government that implies a weaker state that is constantly vulnerable to threats of a downfall. So I think that may be a conservative outcome that, of course, Ismail Sabri and the Perikatan Nasional wants, but it may not necessarily be possible given what the Agong has stated.
And what about Pakatan Harapan? Because Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim has 88 confirmed votes from the remaining members of the coalition, that's PKR, DAP, Amanah. Where are they hoping to get the rest of their support from?
I think Anwar, as a leader, is probably the closest and the furthest from prime ministership. The reason why that's the case is because the 88 MPs that he has is probably the most stable base support that any leader can currently have. But at the same time, to get his additional 24 to actually obtain a majority is probably the most difficult compared to other candidates like Ismail Sabri, Kuli, and so on. So in order for him to succeed, he would definitely need all of the smaller opposition parties to be on his side to add up to 105. So this includes a lot of Warisan, Independent, as well as Pejuang, who hasn't stated any support for him. But even if he manages to do that, he would still need to work on acquiring other existing PN Perikatan Nasional members on his side. And the only likely block that he could obtain is from UMNO. right? Last time, the closest rumor was that anyone who is close to Zahid Hamidi, Anwar's old friend, in UMNO would likely support him as a prime minister. But now that is very unlikely because Zahid's gang are not only kingmakers in this current new configuration of the government, but they are also potentially the next prime minister. So there's no need for them to compromise to make Anwar prime minister anymore. And therefore, I say that he is the closest, but yet the furthest as well from prime ministership.
Mm. James, do you think that a possible compromise could be reached where we see Tunku Razali as the prime minister with his cabinet composed of Pakatan as Harapan as well as UMNO MPs? You know, we know that UMNO president Zahid Hamidi has previously announced no DAP, no Anwar, but what if other compromises can't be reached?
Yes, so Kuli is probably the closest to a compromise prime minister that we have. The reason for that is because Ismail Sabri or let's say Hishamuddin are too close to the Perikatan National government to the point that any opposition bloc would not support them. Whereas Kuli is the most likely candidate, not only because he is factionless in UMNO, but at the same time, he is uncontroversial. So it is a candidate that people can agree on. However, I do feel that UMNO may not be as readily supportive of him, given that he is a relatively independent and ambitious person. So at 84 years old, his ambition has not disappeared of being the forever prime minister in waiting. And therefore, that ambition may be a problem for UMNO because they need someone who they are able to control since they cannot have their president, Zahid Hamidi, as the prime minister. They will need someone who will listen to whatever Zahid Hamidi says. But at the same time, like I've mentioned just now, because the Yang Diputuan Agong has mentioned that he wants this political crisis to end. And one of the best ways of doing that is either you have a unity government with the opposition on bloc, or at the same time, or alternatively, you have at least a small majority government which requires the support of the opposition. And therefore, Kuli is more and more attractive as a candidate to actually make that happen.
Hmm. So let's also look at GPS. How will that Sarawak-based party factor into these various permutations? You know, in the past, GPS has made it clear that they're pretty much willing to support anyone who can claim Putrajaya.
Yeah, so GPS is one of those parties or coalitions that's very hard for you to know who they actually owe their loyalty to. Probably no one. So they are very malleable only if they are in opposition or they are not in government. What this means is that it makes a lot of sense for them now to say that I want Perikatan National to stay as government, this is what they said. At the same time, I will continue supporting Perikatan National. They would say something like that because they are currently in government. So what they're actually implying is that they don't want their positions to be worse off because they are packed with ministership and deputy ministership. So they want to insist that status quo must remain until they are offered something better. So no defections, no jumping over the other side. So what that also means, right, is that it's best to look at GPS really as an additive rather than the main ingredient to whatever you're trying to build. So what this means is that GPS would only support you if you can show that you already have a majority. So they are the people who provides you that stable block if you need to, rather than being your base support. So I think that's how GPS has always been seen, and I don't think that has changed today.
And finally, James, who do you think will be the next prime minister?
Well, I think what people can agree on is that there is no ideal candidate currently being offered because I think this is really scraping at the bottom of the barrel. But I think if someone of the few options that we have, the most ideal is Kuli, not necessarily because he's the most competent and most responsible, but because he is most likely to command support of enough MPs to form a majority. And that's very, very important because what Tan Sri Muhyiddin has taught us was not that you need to pick someone who is very sacred and holy, who is free from evil. You really need to pick someone who can command confidence so that they are not insecure and desperate. However, I have one last reservation, which is since Tan Sri Muhyiddin went to power last year, what we have also learned is that the person who eventually becomes prime minister is oftentimes the most aggressive in their pursuit for that power. Currently, I see only movements from Ismail Sabri that was unusually aggressive in trying to obtain power. The prime ministership will never fall in the laps of anyone. It will never be given to anyone. It has always needed to be earned. And I feel that most often than not, the prime ministership is earned through a high degree of ego as well as hubris. So I think that Ismail Sabri has that.
All right. Thank you so much, James. We've been speaking to James Chai, political commentator and head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions. Coming up after the 4 p.m. news bulletin, we'll have more analysis for you in light of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's resignation as prime minister. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.